Lakuta Sichas Chelik Yutes Parsha Shoiftim Sicha Beis. From Pasuk B'Parsha Seinu, from the Pasuk in our Parsha V'Leyoshu V'Sa'o Mitzrayim, that he shall not bring the people back to Mitzrayim. V'Hashem Amar Lachem Lo Sisifun Loshu B'Derech Hazeh Oid. The Pasuk says that a king shall not collect, get a collection of horses, which Egypt was a source of the best horses at the time, so that he will not bring the people back to Mitzrayim in pursuit of getting horses and so on. Because Hashem said, you shall not return in this way anymore. You shall not go back to Mitzrayim. From this we know the halacha, as Yid torzich nisht umkeren bazetzen zich lo shtakeya in Mitzrayim, that a Yid is not allowed to return to settle in Mitzrayim, to live there permanently. Unochmer, Beloshon Chazal, even more so, as our sages tell us, Begimel Mekemes Huzri Yisrael, Shloilosov Eretz Mitzrayim. In three different places, we are told that we are not allowed to return to Mitzrayim. The Rambam in Zayn Sefer Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam in the set of the Rambam, the halachas that we learn, Brengt HaRabdim Din as Metarnisht Veinen in Mitzrayim, he brings this halacha that you're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim. Brengt HaRabdim Maim HaChazal Begimel Bekemes Zizira Toira V'cholu, and he quotes this Maim HaChazal that we just said, that in three places the Torah told us not to. And fun stimus l'sheni is mashma, from the fact that he says it without qualification, it seems as the iser is oich dob is manazeh, that this iser, this prohibition, applies in today's day and age as well. When the Rebbe gefindman in mefarshim a grace of shaklavatari, and therefore we find in the commentaries a very big discussion. How was it that the Rambam himself was permitted to live in Mitzrayim if he himself says that you're not allowed to? And it's not a question only about the Rambam. There were many Jewish communities that were established in Mitzrayim, famous ones, Alexandria in Egypt and so on. So how could they have done it if there's a prohibition to live there? So we have to understand about this. Bam Isur Chitun Mita Mitzri, by the prohibition that a Jew is not allowed to marry a Mitzri bizder shlishi until the third generation, the first two generations of conversion by an Egyptian, that are not allowed to marry into the Jewish community. They can marry another convert and so on, but not into the Jewish community. So in regards to that Isur, Paskin the Rambam rules as follows, Kishaola Sancheiriv Melech Asher, that when Sancheiriv, the king of Assyria, rose up against Eretz Yisrael. Bilbul kola umais. He rose up, in other words, not only against Eretz Yisrael, he conducted wars in many of the countries around there. And bilbul kola umais, he caused a chaotic situation amongst all the nations. Beirvam zebazeh, and his military tactic was that rather than conquer a country and then you have the inhabitants of that country constantly starting partisan groups and constantly fighting back for their land, so he took all the inhabitants or many of the inhabitants from one country and he settled them in another country, and he switched them around so that no citizens of the country that he conquered lived in their own country, and there would be no reason for the citizens of France to fight for Italy. If he moved them to Italy, then what do they need? What do they care about Italy? So therefore, there would be no constant wars against them by the citizens. And thereby, he took all the citizens from every country that he conquered and he moved them to another place. The Elu HaMitzrim, therefore, the result is that these Egyptians, Sheveres Mitzrayim Ata, that live in Mitzrayim now, Anoshim Acherim Heim, they are not the original citizens of Egypt. Hayol V'Nisarvu, since they were moved by Sancheiriv to a different country, and people from other countries were moved into Egypt. Hutar HaKoyl, therefore, everyone is now permitted to marry into the Jewish community, because since most of the people that live in Egypt now are not the original Egyptians, So even if one should perhaps be one, we say that kol ha-parish, when there is a halachic principle, that we go basarayv, that we go by the majority. And if the majority are not Egyptian, so therefore we say one person that comes out from that group is assumed to be not from the miyud, from the minority, but from the majority. And therefore today, anyone that lives in Egypt can marry into the Jewish people without waiting three generations. And bibaldas bizman hazeh zeretz mitam haland fin anoshim acherim. So since today, the people of Mitzrayim are not the original Egyptians, v'shtam enish from the Amalek of Mitzrayim, in other words, not descendants of the original Egyptians, hain favos, is oich itzchal de isa loshim l'mitzrayim. So then why is it that today there is still a prohibition to move to Mitzrayim, to settle in Mitzrayim, since it's not the original people, it's not the original Egyptians? It would seem that we could give the answer to this question, as in fact some of the commentators do say, as the Isi Yeshiva Mitzrayim is nishtzalib the dar to mention Mitzrayim, that the prohibition to settle in Mitzrayim has nothing to do, is not about the people that live there, nor mitzadim landalem, but the country itself is a place where Hashem doesn't want the Jewish people to live. Eretz Mitzrayim, the land of Mitzrayim, the country of Mitzrayim itself, Afilu v'Mitzrayim is nor der Eretz, even though the only thing that qualifies it as Mitzrayim is just the location. The geographical location is what makes it Mitzrayim, because there are no Valdotin Zayn and Shtokhe Mitzrayim, because there are no Egyptians living there. So the only thing about it is the geographical location. Still, the Torah doesn't want us to live there, and therefore, even though the people there are not the original Mitzrayim or their descendants, you're still not allowed to live there. That's how some commentators want to answer. Which is also obvious from the way the Rambam rules, in addition to the ruling from Loshna Rambam, also the way he expresses that ruling in the Vaitadik Halacha, in the next Halacha. What does he say there and what does he rule there? It seems to me that if a Jewish king conquered Egypt, Alpi Bezdin, in accordance with the ruling of the Bezdin, Shuma Teres, that in that case it would be permitted for the Jewish people to live there, and the Torah only prohibited us from return there as individuals, but not if the Jewish community conquered it under the ruling of the Bezdin, or to live there when it is under the control of non-Jewish governments. And the reason why is because the behavior in Mitzrayim is more corrupt than any other place. That is the most corrupt place on earth, and therefore if it's under the control of non-Jewish governments, so then the corruption goes on. Obviously if the Jewish people conquer it and take it over and it's under the domain of the Bezdin, so then that problem is no longer a problem, and then the Torah would permit it. Because from them is mashma, that from this ruling in the Rambam it seems that the isur is mipnei shemaseha from Eretz Mitzrayim and ish shemaseim from the Akum b'kul kolim, that the reason why you're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim is because the behavior in the country of Egypt, not necessarily of the original inhabitants of Egypt, but just the country itself lends itself to corruption. Al derech maima chazal, similar to what our sages tell us, yesh mayonish shemagadlin v'cholu v'yesh shtufim bezima, there are places which bring forth different types of inhabitants and so on, and there are places which are where people are very much into living a life of corruption and matters of intimacy and so on. So it's the place itself which engenders that kind of behavior, and not necessarily the people that were there. Even if other people come to live there, they also get caught up in it and that kind of behavior. Und der Ribber Oibzi is biyad akum, and therefore, if Egypt is under the control of the non-Jewish inhabitant governments, afilu nish biyad Mitzrayim, it doesn't matter which non-Jewish control. It doesn't have to be necessarily descendants of the original Egyptians. Is maaseh mukol kolim, that will lead to the behavior being corrupt, and therefore you're not allowed to settle there. In other words, the point is that it's the place itself which creates that kind of behavior, and therefore even if it's other goyim, not just the Egyptians, which are running the place, then it's going to be corrupt, and therefore you're not allowed to come back there. Which would answer the question that we asked originally, that since it's no longer Egyptian people, so then why can't you return to Mitzrayim? The answer is because the land itself, the country itself, even if it's different inhabitants, as long as they're not Jewish, it'll be a corrupt place. The Ribbit is Zoich Movin, the Tam HaAlocha, therefore we can understand the reason for the Halacha, was Dafke ben HaMelech Yisrael is Kevish Eretz Mitzrayim, Al Pi Bezdin, that only if a Jewish king conquers it under the leadership, directorship of the Bezdin, Megman Dan Zich Bezetzin, that then we are allowed to settle there as Jews. Why is that? Dor Chazak Kibush Vet Eretz Mitzrayim Keretz Yisrael L'chol Dover, because if that's how you conquer it, under the leadership of the Bezdin, not just that a king decided that he wants to expand the territory, but it's under the halachic guidance. So then that land becomes like Eretz Yisrael for in every regard. So says the kibush is peyla shini mahus from land. In other words, for us, what that means in this context of this discussion, it means that kind of conquering of the land changes the very nature of the country, of the geographical country, and therefore the prohibition that the Torah says now is no longer applies. This is a country no different than Eretz Yisrael itself. But still, even this is not doesn't completely answer the matter, because in Sefer HaMitzvahs schreibt the Rambam, in the other Sefer of the Rambam, one of the others from Sefer HaMitzvahs, he writes as the Tama Isra Shulay Nilmud Mema'aseyim, that the reason for not moving to Egypt is so that we don't learn from their behavior. Thus says the Isra Tzalib Nisht Oplen Azich for Mitzriim mentioned from Eretz Mitzrayim, which means that the reason we're not allowed to go back there is so that we don't learn from the behavior of the Egyptians. So then according to that reason that the Rambam gives there, we have to explain, why then is there a problem to live in Egypt today's day and age, now that the people that live there are not the descendants of the Egyptians, they're other people, and therefore what does it mean not to learn from their behavior? They're no longer the Egyptians. Just like you can move to any other country in the world, why can't you move there? Then another thing, if, as we said before, that it's the very geography of it that brings forth a certain type of corruption, is a feel of even though there might be a situation in which it's no longer possible, you're not going to learn from their behavior. And why not? For instance, al derech hazman ben bahis eretz Mitzrayim lishmama, like in a time when Egypt would have become desolate, there's no people living there, and there's no culture, so there's nothing happening. Who are you going to learn from? There's nobody to learn from. So what about then? Leitava baregel adam, or in a time when people didn't go there and weren't there, is visis given bisman Nebuchadnezzar, as it was in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, where he completely, I guess, decimated the people of Egypt and nobody lived there. Darf euch sein der Isa betokvei. So then, even though there's nobody living there, if the issue is that the country itself brings forth such corruption, so then even if there's nobody living there, then there should still be a prohibition to live there because it's the country itself. Gimel. In regards to the prohibition of an Egyptian being able to marry into the Jewish people, Shreib de Lavush. The Lavush writes as follows, when was this said in the early generations? Avalaidna achas ola sancheira, but now after sancheira already did his work over there. He already removed the original inhabitants and he put others instead of them. And although without doubt some of them did remain, it wasn't like he removed every single Egyptian from the country. He removed most of them, but some of them still remain. So therefore they, the ones that originally lived there, are what's called fixed. And whenever there is a fixed situation, then we say that it's half and half. Let me explain. There is a principle in the Torah called Achrei Rabin Lahatis, that we go by the majority of something. When we're unsure of a situation, we go by the majority. For instance, as an example, if somebody finds a piece of meat in the street and he doesn't know whether it comes from the kosher butcher or from the non-kosher butcher, so we look at this. This is all midiraisa. The Rabbanon changed all that, but midiraisa in its original halacha from the Torah, this would be the law, that if you count how many kosher stores there are and how many non-kosher stores there are, if there are more kosher stores, then we assume, we go by the majority, and we assume that the piece of meat came from the kosher store. If there are more non-kosher stores, then we say that it probably came from the non-kosher store and you can't eat it. That is if you found it in the street, because that's called parish. It was removed from its original, from the place where it is fixed, kavua, because now it's being removed from the store. But what happens if you went into a store and you bought a piece of meat and then you realize you don't know which store you bought it, you're not sure that you bought it from a kosher store or a non-kosher store? We wouldn't say go by the majority, see if there is more kosher stores or not, because then it's kavua. You took it from its fixed place. And there we say kemachza al machza, we treat it like it's half and half, like there's half kosher and half non-kosher, and therefore you have to treat it like a non-kosher piece of meat. That's the principle of kavua as opposed to parish. Kavua means it was from a fixed place. Parish means it removed itself from its original fixed place. Then you can go basarov. So in regards to our question, says the Levush, the Egyptians that remained living in Egypt, and now somebody wants to marry that Egyptian is kavua, that's where he lived in Egypt, and he still lives in Egypt. So if somebody moved from Egypt to another country, and in that country there's a question whether he's from the majority or from the minority, then you can apply that. He's from the majority. Most people in Egypt are not Egyptians. Therefore, you can marry him. But if he's living in Egypt, then that's like buying from the store. And there it's a kavua. Therefore, we should treat him as a mechza al mechza, which means we have to consider as if there's half Egyptians, half non. And therefore, you can't marry him. So the Levush answer is that you could still marry him. Why? Mikol makim, still oisei shem is gayer. That one Egyptian that is converting, Hadayu Peirish Mehem, he has separated himself from the rest of the community. Behold the Parish, Meruba Kaparish, and therefore when he separates himself by his willingness to convert, then we consider that he removed himself, and when you remove yourself, we look at you as, we look what's the majority. Umatar Meyad, and therefore they can marry immediately without waiting for 2-3 generations. Ulafize, so according to this, as miyotam nishiru b'mekaymaisam, that a small amount of Egyptians still remained in their place in living in Egypt, oich nochem bilbul umis, even after Sancheiriv caused that whole exchange of citizens, is muva favos is oich itz chal der isa is yashuv b'mitzrayim. According to this, we can understand why there still should be a prohibition to live in Egypt even now. Because of those Egyptians that some of them still remain, and because they remain in Mitzrayim, they're not batel, because as we said, when it's kavua, we see them as half and half. As long as they don't separate from the Egyptians to convert, so it's like half and half. So therefore, when a Yid wants to move to Egypt, he has to ask himself, there are some Egyptians living there, which we have to consider to be half and half. So I'm going to move into a, there's no majority of non-Egyptians living there, and therefore I can't move there. But we have to understand. So then, why does the Rambam paskin as a rule? And the Shulchan Aruch also says that as a ger mitzri is its mutam yad babas Yisrael, that an Egyptian convert, can immediately marry a Jewish woman. Because we consider that he separated from the majority. Which means that unconditionally we always apply the rule that he is considered to have separated from the majority of the inhabitants that live in Egypt now, which are non-Egyptians. Since now we say that a small amount of the Egyptians did remain in their place, meaning in Egypt, where they're fixed, so then the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch should at least make that condition. They should say that it's a conditional heter. You have to see, their chitun is ba'ifnas, the ger mitzri is ba'poil perish, okar ozel for zayn bayis. You have to make sure that this Egyptian that wants to get married has to move, leave his house. In his house, he would be kavua. He has to leave his house, so therefore, let's say the wedding can't take place in his home, because over there he's kavua. So then we have to see him as machtza al machtza. There's an equal chance that he's an original Egyptian as that he's non-original Egyptian, and therefore you wouldn't be able to marry him if he's kavua. So the Shulchan Aruch should state that he has to leave his house, move away from his fixed place, in order to be able to be called the parish meruba parish. Yeah, inside from zayn bayis, he should have to move out of his house, leave his house. Thus demult is the klal called the parish. Then we would apply the rule that he has removed himself from his situation. Now you can treat it as we look at him as coming from the majority. Oder er is nisht ozul from zayn bayis. So the Shulchan Aruch should make the difference. If he left his house, then you can marry him. But if he didn't leave from his house, was demel tater than tam from kavua, which in that case we would have to apply the rule of kavua kemachzal machzadami, which means he's half and half chance that he's Egyptian. Al derech v'binyan dugmasai, did the Gemara zokt in ksubas, as we find in a similar situation where the Gemara says in ksubas and Rashi and Taisus signed that mazbir, and the way Rashi explained and Taisus both explain that situation as being as the din from kol teparish is dafke then der boil is perish from zayn bayis, that the in the situation in ksubas it talks about where a young woman had a relationship with a man and she doesn't know who it was. In the end, she doesn't know who it was, so she can't say for sure that he is someone that is kosher, let's say, to marry a kayin, and therefore she may now no longer be able to marry a kayin. He may not, I misstated that, he may not be kosher to marry a Jew, and therefore now she would be disqualified from marrying a kayin as a result of that. So since we don't know, so the Gemara discusses about if it's parish, she came from, he removed himself from his original place, and so on. So the Rashi and Taisus explained that to mean that if he left his house and it happened not in his home but somewhere else, so then we say that he's a parish, and we look at the majority to see what the majority of the people there are, if they are kosher to marry a Jew or not. So we see that there is such a thing that in order not to be considered kavua, if you leave your house, that's called that you're parish. So in the same way, shouldn't the Shulchan Aruch make the condition that this Egyptian would have to leave his house in order to be put into the category of kol deparish, in which case he is permitted to marry the woman, the Jewish woman. But if they get married in his house without him leaving the house, then he's kavua, and then you can't marry him. But pashtus kemen zogen, on a simple level, one might be able to say, "Val be'ez zayn gier hatadoch gemuz zayn aperish mebeisay v'tuluvuz zokt aisus shemegayareu perish mehem." That since when he went through his conversion, he had to leave from his house, as the Levush actually says, that by converting, that is how he removes himself from them. Aber so therefore one could say that that already means that he separated from them, because for his conversion he went to separate, he separated for that purpose. Aber das ist nicht maßgeblich, but that really that's not enough. Aber nicht in die Dann ist nicht genug. Das was ist Peirisch mit Beisei. Nur das ein Peirisch von ganz Eretz Mitzrayim, because in our case, what we're talking about, leaving his house, doesn't mean Peirisch yet, that he removed himself. He would have to leave Egypt in order to be considered a separating himself from the original state in which he is. Just like if, I don't know, going back to the example in the butcher shop, if the butcher took the meat off this shelf and he put it on another shelf, but it's still in the same butcher shop and you bought it from the other shelf, that doesn't mean Peirish, that's still Kavua. It would have to leave the entire butcher shop to be considered Peirish. So therefore this Egyptian, in order to be considered that he removed himself, he would have to leave Egypt in order to be able to be considered a Peirish. And within Egypt, he would always have to be considered a kavua. Ubahaktin, and to explain this, the Rebbe first introduces another Gemara. The Gemara zokt in Yevamos. The Gemara says in Masechta Yevamos, that if a goy goes to a Jewish woman and he says, "I hereby marry you with this ring," and she accepted. So normally when a non-Jew gives kiddushin to a Jewish woman, it has absolutely no meaning and no value, because a Jewish woman cannot marry a non-Jew, and therefore there's no need for a get and so on. But in our day and age, we have to consider the possibility that this kiddushin should be valid. Why? Because we have to say maybe he is one of the 10 lost tribes, and therefore he happens to be Jewish, even without knowing it. So the Gemara asks, "Vaha kol de parish meruba parish." But don't we have the rule that whoever separates from the majority? And since the majority of the people in the world are not from the 10 lost tribes, so then we should consider him a goy. And for the Gemara, so the Gemara answers, "Beduchte de kviya." We're talking in a place where they are fixed. As Rav Kana said, that the pasuk says that the king that took the Sancheiriv, that took the 10 tribes out of Eretz Yisrael, he took them to this country and to that country, he names the places. So in those places, that's the places that they moved into. So in those places where they're kavua, we have to consider that maybe he's one of them, even though it's now thousands of years later. Taich Rashi, Rashi explains, Beduchta de kviya, what does he mean in the place where they're fixed? B'nei aseres ha-shvatim, that the people of the 10 tribes are fixed there, v'chol kavua, k'machtza al-machtza domi, and Rashi explains it in the halachic context, that it means because that's where they live, and therefore they're kavua over there, and now we have to consider that as half and half. So it's possible that he is Jewish, and therefore she has to get a get misafik, that there is a question that maybe he's Jewish, and therefore she should get a divorce. The heiche kviya, and where do we find that? Where are they fixed? Where in the world are they fixed? Kedichsiv, the pasuk tells us in the places where Sancheiriv brought them to those cities, and those cities they are considered to be fixed. So that's how Rashi explains it. Taisus abezok. However, Taisus says, "Debeduchtayu haveruba maseres hashvatim." In those places, the majority are from the 10 tribes. The leikamayshupirish bekundas, and not as Rashi said that the reason is mishum the kol kavua kemachzal machzadami. That the reason is because there they're considered kavua, so we have to treat them as half and half. The e ozel ihu legaba. Because Taisa says, because what happens if he wasn't in his house, he went to the woman who was Jewish, he went over there, so therefore called the parish meruba parish, then we would have to consider it pulled the parish kedamrin, and as we said at the end of the ksubis. So Taisa says the reason that in these cities we have to consider the possibility that he's Jewish from the Aseres HaShvatim is because over there the majority of them were from the Aseres HaShvatim. Not like Rashi says that it's based on Kavua, and Taisa gives the reason because if he left his house and he went to marry her wherever she is. So then we would have to say, call the parish Meruba parish. So let's analyze these two opinions. Is moving favos Rashi Vilnish Lenevi Taisus. We can understand why Rashi doesn't want to say that, as Taisus explains it. Hagamas Rashi Alenis Mefarish Masechta Ksubas Kanal. Even though Rashi himself in Masechta Ksubas did explain it in the same way as Akar Abayel Mebeisoy. Over there, he said that the person that had the relationship with the young woman left his house, and therefore now we look at him as kavua, as parish, and called the parish meruba parish. Hot adin fun called the parish. Vayloit. So the reason he doesn't want to say it here is because vayloit taisus is kosher the loshna gemara beduchta de kviya. Because to learn it, to explain it in the way that taisus explains it, that it's because they're the majority. So then, what is the gemara saying beduchta de kviya in the place where they are fixed? The issue isn't about fixed. If you're saying that it's about them, there being the majority there, so then say that. That we're talking in a place where they are the majority. That's what the Gemara should have said. Why does he say the kfiyah? That's why Rashi doesn't like interpreting the way that Taisus does, that it's about Ruba. So Rashi says, no, it's about Kavua, as the Gemara says. The Loshen Beduchta the kfiyah is Mucha, because when the Gemara says that it's in a place where they are fixed, from this it's clear as daretzer veng the din kavua, that we're talking the issue is kavua. So to explain it better, the asbara in them, the bal de pasuk zokt vayanchem bechalach, and so since the pasuk tells us where he moved them to, zaynona di erte gevoren the matum kavua from the aseres hashvatim. So those places where he moved them to became the fixed place of the Aseres HaShvatim. And the far is Zeir Kviyas Nishba Grenitz to Zeir Abotim. And therefore, like we said before about Mitzrayim or about the butcher shop, it's not the whole city where they moved to, that becomes their fixed place. Not his personal home, that's his fixed place. The entire city is now considered to be a fixed place for him. No, das is kailu gans chalach. That the whole city is in that status of kavua. As kolz manze gefinis zich dort. As long as the person is in that city, ham ze adim from kavua, then they are considered kavua. Filavin zeinim peirish mebesim. Even if he left his own home, his own house. So that explained the mitzvah moving for Rashi is misayim veheiche kviya, and that explains why Rashi concludes it ends by saying, and where are they fixed? Kedachsiv, as the pasuk says, that he took them to these places. L'chayre, because you could ask about why does Rashi add that? Vosad Rashi meisiv of them, v'shteit b'feirishin gemara, g'lechnov them. What is Rashi adding? The Gemara already tells us about where he took them, those cities. So what's Rashi putting it in there? It's clearly stated in the Gemara. Now the mit is a masbir, but he adds it because through this he explains his position, his reasoning. Why they, the people that live in Chalach, even if they left their houses, in fact, it's very common, nobody gets married in their own house. And to get married, you go, as it says, as the Chazal tell us, that they would make a place where the wedding is going to be take place. Just like today, all the way back in ancient times, they also did that. There was a place in which they conducted the wedding, or where they moved into, and they did it over there, but it was not in the original home. So it's obviously a person is not going to be getting married in his own house. So in order to get married, he's leaving his own house. So therefore, Rashi wants to explain why Habm Dorta Din, why they still have a, they're still considered to be kavua, even though they left their house. The Heichekvia. So he says, and how are they considered kavua? Why are they considered kvia kedichsiv? Because the pasuk said that he moved them into these cities. So therefore, the whole city is considered to be kavua. That's what Rashi is explaining here. Them. So according to this reasoning, how does it apply in our case? Vibal that is in them was that is a mitzri, since the basis of the prohibition that we're looking at is because he's an Egyptian. That's what makes him usher. The farfuskum, and therefore it has to come out as ein kvius is in is in Ganzen Land Mitzrayim, that the whole country of Egypt, as long as he's there, he's considered fixed. Und Kolzman is nicht der Reis von Gvul Mitzrayim, as long as he hasn't left the borders of Mitzrayim, afilu ben is Peirish Mabese, even though he left his house, he still retains the status of being Kavua because he's in Mitzrayim, and the problem is being in Mitzrayim, being an Egyptian. So as long as he's there, he's just like in the non-kosher store. The whole store is a non-kosher store, therefore any meat that is taken from in there is usher. That doesn't matter which fridge you took it out of, and therefore it should still be machza al machza. And we can answer in regards to Taisa. Does this Taisa nemt nisht on the svara, that Taisa goes with, he still accepts that as long as he left his house, he's already not kavua. Why doesn't he accept this reasoning as Rashi does? Is this dafke benegeya dem fal from the Aseres HaShvatim? When does he say that? Only in the case of the Aseres HaShvatim. Und das ist der Fall, and this is why, because weil sehr gefinnen sich in jene Erde hat nicht kein Scheich zu mehr zum Indien der Kedushin. Because in the case of the Aseres HaShvatim, being living in that city has nothing to do with the marriage that he's having now. So therefore the city of Chalach has nothing to do with stating whether one is from Aseres HaShvatim or whether one is from some other inhabitant of Chalach. So the city in which they lived doesn't have any bearing on whether he's Jewish or not. If he leaves his house, then he's Peirish. He was Peirish from being Kavua. Mashenkin in unser Fall, but in our case, the was the Isur Lava Bekol Kum Valeriz Amitzri, where the nature of the prohibition is because he's Egyptian. From Eretz Mitzrayim, which means he comes from the land of Egypt. So therefore, the place, the country of Egypt, has everything to say about the status of whether he's permitted or not. Whereas by Chalach, the city has nothing to do with whether he's from the Aseres HaShvatim or not. And therefore, in our case, that Euch Teisus Haltnas Kolzmane Gefindt sich in the Gvulu von Eretz Mitzrayim hat der Rabin von Kavua. It's quite likely to say that even Teisus would agree in this case that as long as he's within the borders of Egypt, he's still considered Kavua, even though over there he says Chalach has nothing to do with being from the Aseres HaShvatim or not, and therefore as long as you left your house, you're fine. But over here he would agree you have to leave the Egypt altogether. Look at the Misa from Mitzri. Now, so based on this whole discussion is Haduchuluduchta, the question comes back. Since there are still Egyptians that stayed remained in Mitzrayim, and the reason why one can still marry an Egyptian is called the parish. Once you separate from Egypt, you're allowed to marry, but because the majority is not. But if you're there, then it's a fixed situation in which you have to consider it to be machtza al machtza. Hatach the Rambam is Shulchan Aruch. So then the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch gedaf machalek zayin. They should have pointed out the difference zwischen ager versus arois von Eretz Mitzrayim, between somebody that leaves Mitzrayim was hat dem din von kol deparish, that then we would consider him to be separated from Mitzrayim, and ager was in Mitzrayim, or a convert which is living in Mitzrayim was hat dem din von kavua, then he would still have to be considered kavua, and is also been bizder shlishi, and then he would still have to be considered to be prohibited until the third generation. So we'll understand this by first explaining a greater question even than this in the same matter. As the Aruch HaShulchan points out, his question is the Gemara says the Nazir as a isha loy naide, that a woman is considered to be not on the move. Why? The whole kvuda basfalach pnima in bias. Because since we have the rule that the pasuk that says that the honor of a woman is inside, I mean in the home, so therefore she's not considered to be a person that roams. Und die Liebe hat sie adim von kavua. And that's why a woman is considered to be kavua, fixed in her home. That's her place. Is the Gemara mamshich, and the Gemara continues, v'chi teime hachinami nayid. And if you'll say, well, what happens if she was on the move? Eimer b'shuka ashkach v'kadosh. He may have married her in, he met her in the marketplace, out in the street, and over there he did kedushin. How do you know that it was? Normally, taka, it's true that a woman would be found in the home. But it's possible that she went out to the marketplace, and that's where he met her, and that's where he married her, and therefore she's not kavua. So the Gemara answers, Hosam hadra l'nichusa. Because she will return to her place of being fixed. She's returning home. It's normal for her to be home. There she is in a state, in a place which is not her place. So therefore she's going to return home. So that's her fixed place. Das heißt, in other words, afilu wenn sie ist parish mebesa, even when she does remove herself from her house, b'shuka ashkach, he met her in the marketplace. Since in the end she's going to go back to her place, to her fixed place, hader l'nechus, as the Gemara puts it, hatzi adin from kavua oich ven b'shuka ashkach. So therefore she is considered to be kavua even if she is temporarily in the marketplace, because her place is at home, and therefore she's always considered to be kavua. So here comes the question, how could you say in the case where the Egyptian is marrying the Jewish woman and it's not in his home, he went out to the wedding hall and that's where they're getting married, how could you call that called a parish, that he removed himself? Even when this Egyptian removes himself from his house to marry the Jewish woman, he should still be considered kavua, since he's going back home. So he's going to go back home, so then he's just like the woman, since she's returning home, she's considered kavua even when she's in the marketplace, even when he's in the wedding hall, since he's going home at night, he should be considered kavua anyway. The bir bozeh is moving from the Lashon HaRambam to this. The explanation of this we can understand from the wording in the Rambam. Shekol ha-peirush mehem li'izgayer cheskosi shepirush min ha-roiv. The Rambam adds the word li'izgayer. Any one of them that removes himself in order to convert, his chazaka is that he removed himself from the majority. Thus is the Rambam meisud the word li'izgayer. Why does he add the word li'izgayer to convert? Because the truth is that even if he didn't remove himself in order to convert, for whatever reason he decided to remove himself, it should still be that called a parish, meruba parish. Why is lihizgayer? What does that say about the situation? It doesn't matter if it's lihizgayer for any other reason. Nor the mitzvah the Rambam Masbe, the reason that he adds that word is because he's explaining as the taich from parish da is nish kipshutai parish memakim. The Rambam is trying to say that the meaning over here of he separates doesn't mean he geographically separates himself from this location to that location. Nor the mit guf of aserezich megayer heister parish, but that the conversion is what makes him parish. The separation is not a physical separation, it is a conceptual separation. The geder from parish ken zayin in tzvei fanim. The idea of removing yourself could be expressed in two different ways. Number one, in mokim gashmi, the physical place. It is parish from a mokim and kum to a tzveite mokim. He removed himself from this place and he went over, changed to another place. V'lo yehodel l'nechusa, and he's not going back to the place where he originally was. That would be one way. Number two is in matziv. He changed his situation. In zayin mokim b'din teira, he changed his place, so to speak, in the context of teira, as teira sees his placing, his placement. Zaymetzius in Torah, the way he is seen and understood and qualified in Torah. And his Pedish from Eim Matzev, he goes from one situation and Getari bin Atzved, and he goes into a different situation. Azayvi bin Idin Nidan, like in our case, was said, Izich Pedish fun Friedek Matzev Adin, that he removes himself from his earlier status. als eine Yehudi Mitzri, as a non-Jew, an Egyptian, und stellt sich über, and now he moved himself into another situation, which is durch Geirus, which he accomplished through conversion, in an andere Matzav, and now he became a Jew, and therefore he has changed. That's called the Parish. Und der Ribber ist da nicht Shayach Hadol Nechusa, and therefore, in this case, you can't have the idea that he's going back to his original status. Because his removing himself from his earlier status happened through conversion. So there's no going back from conversion. He can't go back to his status as a non-Jew. So therefore, the parish, the removing himself from the state of an Egyptian into the state of a Jew, is final, and he's never going to go back to that other state. And therefore, it's a proper and real parish. Which explains also the question of the Aruch HaShulchan. Based on this, the far paskin the Rambam Shulchan Aruch HaBizman Hazeh is Ager Mitzvah Mutu Bebas Yisrael. That's why the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam say that in our day and age, a non-Jewish convert from Egyptian from Egypt is allowed to marry a woman right away. In Aleph, Fanim, in every situation, Oich Vena Gefinzach in Mitzrayim, even though he's still in the country of Egypt. When Afilav and Leib Pirush Mabesi, even if he didn't move out of his house, he's still going to remain in his original house. Why? Because the conversion makes him separate from Egyptians. And therefore, he's no longer Kavua as an Egyptian in Egypt. He's removed himself into a status of a Jew. However, when we look at any other Egypt person that lives in Egypt, the non-Jews, if they remain living in Mitzrayim, even though they're only a minority of the original Egyptians or descendants of the original Egyptians, they still retain their status of a kavua because they live in Egypt and they haven't separated from Egyptian, from being Egyptian. Und der Ribbe bleibt zu lieb sei, der Isser zu besetzen sich in Erzis Mitzrayim, Schleinilme, the Masayim, and therefore it still remains a prohibition to live in Egypt because there is only a minority of the original Egyptians. But since they live in Egypt, they are Kavua, and Kol Kavua ka Mechza al Mechza, so therefore it's an even split that they are considered to be at least half the people living there, and therefore the learning from them could still be a problem, and therefore you can't live there. Befrat, as does is Hazamatzias, especially in our case, where the situation is such, thus yesh loimar, that one could say, as a selekza bachlanish tzogn, as their miyud zol bottle baram beroiv, that it's not even reasonable to say that the small amount, because they're a lesser amount, therefore they're going to, the majority of the non Egyptians will overpower them, and you know, and it won't be a problem anymore, their corruption. And the reason that we, it's not reasonable to say this, is both because of the minority and because of the majority. Both of them don't lend themselves to this kind of idea that they may be a good influence on them. Why? Well, number one says Amiyut in Kamos Tzol mentioned. It's true that it's a minority in the amount of people. But the problem is not the small number of them. The problem is the type of behavior that they have, the kind of people that they are. Kilkul Maseim, their corruption is Mitzad Ribi and Gedlo Echos is Zalderav Yedava Choshev, and therefore because of their intense corruption. Therefore, we could view this as when we say that in the laws of Bittul, that if something is a davachosh, if something is an outstanding thing that doesn't easily lose its metzias into the majority, we say that it's not Bittul. A davachosh, something which is important, that retains its own identity because of its importance, is not Bittul. And therefore, because of their intense corruption, even though the other goyim around them are not as corrupt, but because of their intense corruption, they retain their own status in this kind of corruption, and therefore they're not going to lose their status of corruption just because the other goyim are not as corrupt as them. That's number one. That's from the perspective of the minority and also from the majority. Do is the rov, the mention from andere umes was gefindet sich in Mitzrayim, over here, the majority, which is goyim that come from other countries, nish menaget zum miyutu mevatle, they are not looking to be a good influence over the Egyptians that live there. They themselves are basically corrupt, only not as corrupt as them, so therefore they're not even looking to overwhelm them with their nice behavior. But the umas animal, because even those nations were also corrupt. As Mernish was the Mitzvahs and Nochmer Mekokul, it's only that the Egyptians were even more corrupt than them. When the Ribir is the Mitzvahs from Amravnish Bekayach, so Mavatl Zain, the Miat from the Mitzvahs, and therefore the majority doesn't have the ability to neutralize the corruption of the Egyptians, of the minority Egyptians that live there, because they have no interest in neutralizing them. They too are corrupt, only not as corrupt, and therefore it's not even reasonable to say that the minority of the Egyptians will be neutralized because of the majority of the other nations there. And therefore it gives even more reason why one is not allowed to move to Egypt, because the minority of the Egyptians, besides for the fact that al pi alocha they're a kavua and therefore machtza al machtza, there isn't even an attempt to neutralize them by the others around them, and therefore the corruption goes on as unchecked. Zayin, al pi anal, based on this, as in Eretz Mitzrayim zayin nochal tzfaran from the Mitzrayim from Amol, that in Egypt there is still left over from the original Egyptians. Kum toris ha'teisus esayrus na'avedz Hashem b'yomenu eila, that it comes out a new esayrus, another encouragement and another awakening and so on, in our service of Hashem in our day and age. Bahakdim, by first explaining, Hagamas ali yonim v'teira gein arayin inim klau f'na teira hi nitzchis, even though everything in teira is eternal. Every part of teira belongs to the rule that everything in teira is eternal. If alas manim and an alam akemis, that it applies in all times and in all places, from desveng still, is da achilik zwischen den Yonim welche mekennisch mekayim sein kipshutam, there has to be a difference between those parts of Torah which are eternal but we can't actually practice them at this time. Und der Nitzchi is Eir is beruchnis in Yonim, so what is the meaning of their eternity? We can't practice it. It means in the spiritual sense it still goes on. Und die Sachen was einen euch itz veran begashmi, so that's much different than the parts of the Torah which are still in practice today. That we see the eternal nature of it. But um does bavais does the inyanim in the nitzchi is nor does bavais does in the inyanim in the nitzchi is noch mit agresser and taker, because there we see that the eternal nature of it is even more so, because it's actually even in practice now. Because it's expressed even in the physical, material sense, and anybody could see, even a goy can see, that this is still a part of Torah which we are living today. Azoyer bin Yoneinu, the same is also true in this matter. A state in Pasuk, the Pasuk says, Atem re'isim asher osisilu Mitzrayim. Hashem says to the Jewish people, you saw what I did to Egypt. Va'ata, now, im shamoye tishmu b'keili, if you will listen to my voice of Shmatam as Brisi, and you will keep my Torah, you will be my chosen nation from all people from all the nations. Mamlechas goyim kodesh, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. From them is so. That's what he says. That you're different. You see what I did to them. You are special people to me. From them is moving. From this we understand as their atem reisim asher asisim mitzrayim, that the introduction to you being special is see what I did to Egypt. Is a achona to the inyanim velchashtein in the psukim la'achrize, that what Hashem did to Egypt somehow is the preparation for the Yidden becoming the chosen nation. Va'avi eschem elai, as he says, I will bring you to me. Va'atem shumay tishmu, now if you will listen to me, v'shmatem esbrisin, you will keep my covenant. V'yisam lizgula, and you will be chosen unto me. Then Eden Zen be'enei bosa b'de'evishta vais v'zei nisim. So when the Eden see, when they actually are able to see that how Hashem does miracles on their behalf, beim Oprechnen sich, by payback to those who oppressed the Jewish people, the Ha'inish and the punishment that they received, in that case it was the Egyptians. From the Umas Velchazena Meitzer Meikli Yisrael, he has payback against those nations that oppressed the Jewish people. That in itself strengthens the Yidden, that they should strengthen their connection to the Hashem. This is a reason, this is a motivation for the Yidden to re-establish their relationship in a stronger way with Hashem, by listening to Hashem. I want to inject here that this sicha was said a few weeks after the Six-Day War, when the Egyptians took a very, very big hit at the hands of the Israeli army. And for those who don't remember, it was a great embarrassment for the Egyptians how the great loss that they suffered. The fun is euch verstandig, so this, from this we understand also, as when Eden zem bide eibishter rechen zu chob mit Eretz Mitzrayim, that when the Yidden see how Hashem pays back the Egyptians, was dort seine Faran dieselbe Mitzrayim v'yamo, that even today there you still have some of the original Egyptians. Today means in 1967. Chazit zich iber nochamo begashmiz leine basar. So therefore it all reasserts itself, and we can see how it's all happening again. Dem atem li'isim asher asisim l'mitzrayim. You see what I did to Egypt. You can actually open a television, you can read a newspaper, see a magazine about what Hashem did to the Egyptians. Al derech v'yaseh givem b'pamir shayna, similar to what happened in the original time when Hashem punished the Egyptians by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Darv dos memeila ruisrufim, by the Eden. So this, what should be the reaction from the Jewish people to this? V'zen asher asisim Mitzrayim, that see what Hashem did to the Egyptians, Ataisus Yisraelus, that should bring out a greater awakening, as Olzayn Shemay Tishma B'Keli, that it should be that we should listen to Hashem, Oshmartem as Brisim, to keep the Torah, as Eden Zonzach Starken and Kim Matera and Mitzvahs, that the Jews should strengthen themselves in the fulfillment of Torah Mitzvahs and Zechfirim via an Am Skula, and to conduct ourselves as a chosen nation, Zayn Mamlechus Kainim, to be a kingdom of priests, of Kainim, of Goy Kodesh, and a holy nation. That should be the reaction. Und das wird die Achana Kreve zu dem Bekeile Tishmo, and this becomes the proper, the good preparation that very soon will be that we will, what the Pasuk says, Hayoim in Bekeile Tishmo, what Eliyahu Navi said, that Hayoim, Mashiach will come today if Bekeile Tishmo, so this should lead to the Bekeile Tishmo, to listening to Hashem's voice, was bring the Mayim, which will bring that today should be the Bias Mashiach, the Mayim from Bias Mashiach, the Kavtochas Mashiach Tzitkenu, Bekore Mamish, as Mashiach told, said that it will be Hayim, it should happen Bekore Mamish.